Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and on today's episode we are discussing and reviewing The Butcher by No Escape London. It's an escape room. Obviously down in London they have three different venues with multiple escape games, and this time Dan and Jess from UK Haunters, our Scare Track guest hosts, have experienced and completed, spoiler, The Butcher at No Escape London. So before we go into it, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, there are no spoilers on the actual game. No spoilers on any of the tasks. Obviously, we talk about the themes and the ideas of the hour-long escape game, but we made sure that we haven't spoiled it for you guys. Just like all our other escape room discussion review episodes, we kind of give a hint of what kind of game it is and what kind of tasks you may come across, but we don't give anything away. So there's not really any spoilers moving forward, other than they managed to get out. They've done 10 escape rooms and they've managed to escape 9 of them. So not a bad record. Of course, they go for the horror/haunt subgenre of escape rooms. So we are in that sort of niche market that we all know and love. Myself and Hannah have got one coming up in a few weeks' time as well. So very excited about that. But for now, let's take you over to the interview with Dan and Jess from UK Haunters to talk all about The Butcher by No Escape London.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi folks and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. Guys, how's it going?
All good, man, all good.
A little bit pinker than usual with the weather. But
yeah, slightly heat stroke.
Yeah,
it's hot, man.
Heat stroked.
Prickly heat. You're pretty hot, basically, is what you say. We've all caught
a bit
of sun.
Thank you, Marky. Flashy will get you everywhere.
Right, well, we started this well. Let's get onto the topic of not me calling Dan hot. Basically, you are back onto the Scare Track Podcast because you've checked out another escape room. This time, it was No Escape in London.
We tried out the Butcher Room this time.
Okay, sweet. And there are a few different locations as well, aren't they? They're in Oxford Street, Aldgate East and Holloway as well. So which one did you go to?
We went to the one in
Aldgate.
Aldgate, awesome, sweet. So it's No Escape London, Aldgate. And I'm just following them on Instagram as well now, guys. So you can do that as well and check out their website while we're chatting as well. It's noescapelondon.co.uk. Without giving too many spoilers away, obviously, similar to other escape room episodes, you don't want to give the game away as such and let people know how to cheat on these things. But in a kind of non-spoilerific way, how did you enjoy the game?
It was cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I did like it. I've got to say, they started off amazingly strong. The beginning kind of really slapped you in the face.
Awesome. Okay.
Not literally. No. Don't take that as you're going to get touched up when you go in there.
yeah, but it really it starts off with a bang.
Okay, sweet. So, and that's always good to have something sort of impactful and powerful at the beginning of the game as well. So it was the Butcher's Room. Is that what it's called on their website? Is the Butcher's Room?
I think it's called the Butcher.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
So yeah, they've got the Butcher, the dentist, the toy room.
Not in this one,
I'm talking in general.
Oh, okay.
We are going to work our way through all of them. Is this our plan? We can do one a month till we find another horror escape room-esque place
to work. So they've got a handful to check out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet. So you did the Butcher, checking out on their website now, the Butcher Fresh Meat, premium quality. What was the theming like in there? Did it really feel like you were in a proper Butcher's?
On this place, it was a butcher. It was quite cool. They had quite good props.
Yeah.
It definitely had very, it definitely had a very strong vibe about it. A lot of love went into it. And they did go out of their way to make it not just a room. Like, it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a cheap room by any stretch of the imagination. They haven't just gone, oh, let's just stick them in a room and give them butcher themed clues. There are, without letting me spoil it, there are props.
Yeah.
Horror props, which you have to mess around with.
I would say it's it has elements of butchery within it.
Nice.
And definitely horror themed as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're definitely melding horror and escape rooms, which I really do appreciate.
I suppose you have to be aware of what is the butcher cutting up. Is it animals or...
or... dum-dum-dum. Okay, sweet. And like you say, they've got more there as well, but we can talk about the ones that you can potentially do next. So what... again, it's difficult because we don't want to give any of the game away or any of the tasks as such, but was it more mental sort of task, or was it more physical stuff? Did you have to build things? What kind of things can people expect within it?
This particular one was very numbers-based.
Right.
Which is not my sort of thing. I really like tactile clues. There were certain tactile stuff, like there's a thing, you keep trying to say something and realize you can't spoil it.
Yeah.
But there are certain elements of tactile, but there is enough number base where they do give you a sketch pad. It's one of those things where you press a button, it wipes it clean, you can write on it and wipe it clean.
Right.
So there's enough mathematical / number riddles in there for them to give you that, which it's really not, it's not even not my strong point. I'm not very good at maths, but it's also I prefer the practical, because the practical I feel gets you more involved in the reality.
Yeah,
I think that the numbers is kind of a singular. It feels very singular because you're working it out in your head. It's not like you can count in unison with someone or do maths in unison. Whereas if you're doing something more tactical, you have to build something or put something in something. There's an element of everyone being involved.
Which they do have a little bit.
They do, but I'm talking specifically about those ones. But no, I mean, it was different to what I expected it to be, if I'm being honest. It's not what I expected. There was one of the puzzles was fantastic, and I hadn't seen it done elsewhere.
Right, okay. So there's uniqueness at least then.
There's a uniqueness with the tasks. Doesn't make the task any less frustrating, because you know what it's like when you're in a room and you can't quite get it, or you're not quite getting something and you know how to do it, but you can't quite do it.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, it's because we were concentrating so much on brain straining ourselves, there was a jump scare bit where me and Jess were like, we don't know what's going on. Because the jump scare bit happened and we were just so out of the reality of the room that it just didn't get to us. But the two people we did, they jumped and screamed.
Yeah.
So what are coming across as down points to this room are very, very personal to the way we personally like our escape rooms.
I get that, definitely.
It's a solid escape room. It really is, and I fully plan to work my way through the rest.
Yeah.
Especially the toy room, because we were chatting to the guy afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, yeah, man, that was so numbery. He said, oh, yeah, the toy room's a lot more practical. And I thought, oh, well, that's our bag there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I find when you're trying to do a lot of number stuff, me personally, I think us as a team, it kind of just takes us a bit out of the reality a bit.
Yeah, I get that as well. And, I mean, in every escape room, you can get stuck at certain points and things can get frustrating. But I find if you add numbers into the mix of the me being frustrated, it just makes me more frustrated. And Hannah's very similar to me in that respect when it comes to escape rooms. It's not like you two are great. We've seen you two. You work very well together and bounce off each other. Me and Hannah will have the same ideas and also very little ideas at the same time. So we're both very similar, which is why we probably fight when we do escape rooms. So something like this, I think we'd, again, by listening to your reviews, and we've listened to a handful now of lots of different haunt-based escape rooms that you guys have reviewed for us, and this one seems like the smarter person's bag, but don't take that in a derogatory way from, you know, someone who is, I'm guessing an accountant might enjoy this one more than some of the other ones that you've enjoyed more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, just that said, because what it's, because there is an element of scare actors in it, which I quite like, and the other people in our team seem to react a lot more to that. Maybe it's just because we've been in them so much that it took us out of the reality that it didn't make us jump as much, but the other ones who aren't so seasoned, it terrified them. So, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's particularly scary.
Not to us. It's in a street.
But I'm talking, the jump scare is a jump scare, yeah. Right? I'm talking about the actual room itself wasn't frightening.
Right.
I didn't feel...
You didn't feel the impending doom, yes, of somebody being in.
Yeah.
I see. I get you. But what about the people you were with? Would you say that they would feel it? I mean, I'm guessing they'll feel it more than you in anything you sort of do, because you guys are used to doing these sort of things. And it's like, I took my brother to Scare Kingdom for the first time the other night and he was completely blown away, whereas sometimes I look at things and I'm like, it's just second nature. I'm used to seeing it now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't find the room scary. Jump scare they jumped at. I didn't think, they wasn't afraid to get stuck in or go into the room or...
Right, yeah.
It's suitable for those with a lower scare tolerance.
Do you know, I say, in all fairness, I say it's suitable for anyone. It is good. We're making it sound probably a lot worse without an intention. This particular room wasn't as us.
Yeah.
As other ones. We really are huge. We've been to rooms before which are quite mathematical. We've felt the same way. But this is the great room. But we love practical. We are real practical people.
I think it's because I end up getting lumbered with the mathematical and I'm shouting at Dan for certain numbers.
Yes.
And so it's just me in a room with three other people trying to do maths.
I can 100% believe that, definitely.
Whether it's practical and you're all rummaging around, moving stuff and trying to put things together and reorganise orders, you're kind of all getting involved in the room.
Yeah.
Whereas you're kind of sitting there with your fingers out going, so 1, 2, 3, you carry. Know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, yeah, I
but
get that.
Again, this is a very personal preference of how we like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you say, you enjoyed it as much that you want to go and do the other ones as well. And you mentioned toy box.
I enjoyed it. The No Escape lot do this with love and talent.
Yeah.
They are. It looks nice. The scare actor involvement. The props, the puzzles. It's all done with creativity and love. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just if you gave me a choice of this one, or say if you explained this one to me and explained the toy room, which is the one we're going to do next,
yeah,
I'd have gone, oh, toy room, hands down, because that's really handsy movie. So yeah, it's mainly personal preference. So
yeah,
and I can see this would appeal to the more seasoned escape room groups. You know, we're biased because we do nothing but horror escape rooms.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm aware there's a whole world out there of escape rooms that don't revolve around horror.
Yeah.
So I think
it's
mainly suited to that kind of community.
More universal escape room people, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know? Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, because we do.
What I like
about Roswell and Horror. Yeah, Roswell and Horror, yeah. Horror and Halloween,
yeah. That's a good point, to be fair. It's sort of, we're looking at these in a slightly different viewpoint, purely based because we're looking at how much haunt and how much horror is sort of injected into the escape rooms. But I suppose that, I mean, this could be one that has a bigger target market, a bigger market audience, purely because it's more of an escape room, but with a horror feel rather than a horrific escape room.
Yeah, rather than a horror escape room.
Yeah.
It's a horror. But I think they've all done. I really can't wait to check out the rest of them because the only one, the other ones I can remember here is a dentist because it had a poster and a toy room because that was in the same location.
Right, yeah.
But they all
yeah.
seem to be horror, which is great because I loved, you know, obviously we don't get haunts. Especially in London, we get subtle haunts anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, apart from London Tombs, which is year round. We and even in Halloween, we you know we still don't get a lot of haunts in London.
Yeah,
we get
true, sod all.
So
true.
I love the fact that these guys are creating escape room haunts that you can do all year round, because that's our lead up to Halloween. Now we're going to just basically do every one until October.
Yeah.
So I love what they're doing. I think they're fucking fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to checking out their other ones.
Definitely. Well, I'm just looking, trying to look through their website now as well. They've got a Sweeney Todd one as well, which is pretty cool. And I'm checking out the they have their sort of statistics of each room. I'm just on the Sweeney Todd one now, but we'll check out the room that you did as well, the butcher. But this one's like difficulty of 3 stars, group size of 2 to 4 players, but the fear factor is only 1 star, and it's a 10 plus age group. And that's for Sweeney Todd. Blimey, you sickos, no escape. And then again, one called The Dentist here as well. The difficulty is 5 stars, so it's a bloody hard one. Fear factor 3, so it's 3 times scarier than Sweeney Todd. And that's only for 10 plus as well. Oh my days. You're going to, like, I love it. I love it. You're going to terrify some children.
What's the difficulty in the butcher then?
So yeah, let's just have a quick look at the butcher. So they've got the breakout killer as well. So they're all sort of like horror style themed. The butcher, the difficulty is 4, and the fear factor is also 4 as well. So it's quite high on the fear factor. It doesn't actually say an age limit on this one. Whereas the other one said 10 plus, so I'm not sure about this one.
Well, in all fairness, coming from the butcher, I'd agree with the 10 plus, because there's definitely gory props, but they're not offensive. They're not like so ultra gory, ultra scary.
Right.
They're like, they're horn props.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wouldn't like traumatise a child, you know what I mean? It's not like a upside down naked body with its guts hanging out, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah.
More like a burnt face, where you're like, it's scary, but it's not going to traumatise. So yeah, I think 10's probably,
yeah,
I'll say it's about right.
Sweet. And it, like you say, I mean, they've got 3 different locations and different rooms at each one, so it looks like you've got your work cut out throughout the summer, ready for Halloween.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool.
Can't wait.
And I'm just checking out the website now, it's the Haunted Toy Store, which is next, so we'll have to do an episode
on that. I mean, killer haunted toys are my bag. I'm really looking forward, and especially the fact that the guy was like, oh yeah, that one's more practical. I'm really looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to seeing your sort of reaction to it as well, hearing the reaction, because that one, when it comes to difficulty level, it's the same difficulty as the butcher, 4 stars, but the fear factor, it's 1 less at 3, so it should have a slightly less scary feel. But it should be just as difficult. So I'm intrigued to see what the difficulty factor is, especially for you guys when you're more handsy. It's probably the worst way to describe it, but you know what I mean. You're more handsy rather than doing maths and counting dots and things like that. But it's on the same level of difficultness. So I'm intrigued to see how you guys find it being more handsy.
Be my handsy in the toy store.
That's kind of a weird way to end it, but I think it brings us to the best conclusion.
Jessica and Dan are a handsy couple in the escape room,
and they're really enjoying escape rooms. Awesome. Have you got any sort of final thoughts on them? Was the highlight the opening or
final thoughts? I would say check them out.
Yeah,
I mean, check them out. Just because this one wasn't. As again, it's a very, very personal thing. They're good escape rooms. It's just we like more practical puzzles and thinking puzzles. But I mean, definitely check them out. They you know, it's a good escape room. It is. It's a good escape room. It's definitely worth checking out. And as I said, I am fully planning to work my way through them. This was good enough for me to go. I'm going to work my way through these.
Yeah. Sweet.
Awesome. I mean, for me, there was just one thing I wanted to add, and it was there is no microphones in the room.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to be aware of, because we were shouting at the camera asking for a certain clue.
Yeah.
And we wasn't getting an answer because there was no microphone in the room. So the supervisor, the game master, came in through the door I'd already locked us into to ask what we were doing. Which kind of took us out of the game a bit, but I think if we'd known in advance it would have been easier for us, yeah. or we wouldn't have made a mistake, we wouldn't have taken ourselves out of the game. So just bear that one in mind, that there isn't a microphone, so don't look like lunatics like Dan and I did.
Although I do think the person behind who's controlling the computer screen, you know that those where the hints pop up?
Yeah, yeah.
We were really, really stuck. It was me and Merlin, as Jess and Senna were trying to work on the mathematical problem. And it said, do 5 jumping jacks and I'll give you the answer. So he did 5 jumping jacks. He gave us the answer. I was like, that's what we just solved.
Right. So he do it. Yeah. You just solved one and he gave you the answer for the one you've already solved.
Yeah.
He just wanted you to do jumping jacks.
Quite possibly, yeah.
But no, I get that. That can be, I guess that's quite frustrating. But again, it's something that it might be that they implement, like, you know, listen to you guys now, like most rooms that I've ever been to as well, like they would have a microphone in just so the people running the game can hear if you need a clue or hear if there's an accident or hear something, you know.
They did, because whenever we spoke, when you asked for clues, the guy on the computer pinged in, so...
Well, I think it's because we was waving at the camera every time. You had to wave at the camera for a clue.
Right,
I see. But you still had to hear what we were asking for.
Well, no, that's why the clues were always behind.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. So,
makes sense.
Okay, yes, fair enough.
So they would definitely benefit. You think it would benefit in two ways, really. One, it would benefit those guys running it from an operational point of view to have a microphone, and it would help the game because it means they'd be able to keep up with what clues you need and when, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's a good. That's a good bit of feedback, to be fair.
I genuinely thought it was quite funny we had to do jumping jacks for an answer, though.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
And I will admit, we did escape, so yeah. We are still on 9 for 10, mm-hmm. but bad. We did have a lot of help.
Well, it doesn't matter if you need help, if you still reach the finish line, you know.
Yeah, that's
a win to me, that's a tick.
it was still a win. It was still a win.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, perfect. Dan and Jess, UK Haunters, thank you very much for checking out The Butcher, telling us all about it, and we'll get you back on when you check out the Haunted Toy Store.
Awesome. We've bought it.
Awesome. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan and Jess, our guest host here at Scaretrack from UK Haunters Documentary. It sounds like they had a great time at No Escape, The Butcher. A very different style game to what they're used to or what's maybe their preference, but still, they said there was some quality theming, some great scares as well, and they're looking forward to check out the rest of their rooms too. So they've got 3 different locations. They've got a couple of rooms at each place. So go and check them out, guys. If you're in London and you need an escape room, head over to their website. I'll link it in the show notes below. A huge thank you to you guys for listening to this episode of the Scaretrack podcast as well. And I tell you what, if you've got this far in the episode, first of all, thank you very much. But let us know. Let us know what you enjoy about escape rooms. Just send it to us on our social media channels. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook. If you get to the end of this episode, thank you so, so much. But let me know. Let me know on social media. But you could even just put the word escape room. It's just nice to see how many of you actually listen and how many of you we manage to keep to the end of each episode. So, with that being said, if you are enjoying these Scaretrack episodes and you're really enjoying the whole haunted attraction community and podcasting and scare attractions and all things spooky, make sure you go and check over our friends at the Haunted Attractions Network as well. I'll link them in the show notes too. They are doing amazing stuff over in the States. They're giving everyone all the latest news, rumours, interviews, absolutely everything. In their latest episode, they're talking about the brand new Howlow Scream event, not at Busch Gardens, but at SeaWorld. SeaWorld are doing a new Howlow Scream event. So very excited about that. I'm going to be checking out all their episodes to keep up to date with what's happening stateside. And if you're enjoying what we're doing here, guys, make sure you click that subscribe button wherever you're listening now. So a huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Let's get scared.